Welcome to this week's Sunday School lesson. We're continuing our study in the book of Ephesians. Today we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 5, looking at the first 8 verses. The title of our lesson is Walking in Love and Light. Walking in Love and Light. The life of a Christian is often referred to in the Bible as a walk. And the scripture tells us that Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. And the Bible teaches us to walk honestly, walk in newness of life, walk not after the flesh, walk in the Spirit. And last week we even saw that we're not to walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. Our lesson this week exhorts us to walk in love and light. The Bible has a lot to say about love and light. Both love and light are characteristics of God. In 1 John 4:16, it says, God is love. And then in 1 John 1, it says, God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. And God wants us to be like him. If God is love, if God is light, then he wants us to be like him, love and light. It's the ultimate compliment for someone to imitate them. It's interesting that people say they want to be themselves and not like others, but yet everybody imitates someone or something else. People imitate heroes and parents. And even their peers. Companies that get rich because people imitate others. Notice teenagers. One of the teenagers gets a certain brand of shoe, and then they all have to have that brand of shoe. Before we were saved, we were not alive spiritually. We were blind to the things of God. But now that we're saved, we are to imitate God as his dear children. So let's get into our text, Ephesians chapter 5, looking at the first verse. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Have you heard the saying, like father, like son? It is an honor for a child to want to imitate their parent, to be like their parent. People who live in areas with deep snow, they know what it's like when they're out in the snow and they're following someone. They know that it's a lot easier to walk if they placed their foot in the tracks that were left by the person in front of the line. Or the leader. We're to walk in the footsteps of Christ, the one who has done the work for us. Jesus is our ultimate example of godly living. 1 Peter 2:21 tells us, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us as an example that ye should follow his steps. The Greek word that was translated follower in this verse is, the Greek word is mimetes. Now that word mimetes in the Greek, that's where we get our word mimic or imitate. So God wants us to act like dear children who mimic or imitate their father. Can I just say that in Packlet language, as God wants us to imitate him and be like him. Now we've already saw the characteristics of God, that God is love and God is light. Then guess what? He expects us to walk in love and light. Look at verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. The love God wants us to walk in is not that human love, and a lot of people call love. Most of the love that people talk about is not a real love, but is lust. And this verse says to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. It's real easy to say, I love you. But Jesus gave himself as an offering. He humbled himself and allowed wicked men to crucify him. What I'm saying here is that real love is more than just words. Christ-like love is the attribute of a real Christian. We find that in John 13:35. It says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. This love that we have as Christians is not in ourselves, but the love we have is his. When we were saved, Jesus showed us his love, and then he put his love in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. This is what makes a Christian different. We are children of light, set apart from the children of darkness. Real Christians love and care for others. When we were saved, we have a deep desire to please God. I pray often, Lord, I want to please you. Conform me to the image of your Son. Jesus is the perfect example. He gave himself as an offering, gave himself as a sacrifice, and it was a sweet-smelling savor to God the Father. If we give ourselves, walk in love as Christ, just like he did, we will be pleasing to God the Father. Verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Verse 4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Look at that little conjunction that starts that verse. It says, but, B-U-T. That starts an opposite thought. But fornication. But for uncleanness. But for covetousness. What the world calls love is the opposite of real love. It's really lust. The Greek word for fornication is porneia. And that's where we get our word pornography. And oh, at the millions of people that are hooked on pornography today. And then you got uncleanness. That uncleanness is intimate physical relations outside of marriage. It's illicit immorality. And then you got covetousness. That's a counterfeit. It's self-serving. It's so-called love. It's wanting something that's not ours. The Holy Spirit warns us that covetousness is not to be named once among us. Covetousness is the absolute opposite of the given character that we are to have in Christ. Most TV shows, movies, they try to make fornication and they just try to dress it up and like putting lipstick on a pig. They try to make fornication and uncleanness and covetousness attractive and good and desensitize you toward them. I've heard Myra say several times that This just really stuck with her. It just really stuck with her. Even as a small girl when she was growing up, her mama watched soap operas. And she says she remembered how her mama couldn't wait till the next day to see if the so-called people in love, the so-called lovers, got back together. Maybe even committing adultery or fornication. And she said even then she looks back and says how wicked that was even back then. And, of course, a hundredfold worse today. But the soap opera made it look like a good thing for an unwed couple to commit fornication or a married couple to commit adultery. But we are to turn away from such behavior. As in verse 4, we should be repulsed at even the conversation about it. We should not enjoy watching shows, listening to jokes, telling jokes that remotely resembles or suggests this type of behavior is okay. Which is pretty much most shows on TV and in the movies today. Because sadly today, this is reality. It's going on in real life. People living together, shacking up like man and wife, and yet never getting married. Always just a piece of paper, they say. Well, then they just sort of check each other out and get tired of each other. Well, they just go find another one and start all over again. Well, that seems to be the norm today. And yet they say they're in love, but yet the Bible calls it a wicked sin. People joke about forbidden fruit. As Christians, instead of wanting what we don't have, we should be thankful to God for what He's given us, what we do have. We should realize and be thankful that God is our perfect Father, and He's given us what He knows is best for us. I could call names. I could give you examples. Coming to the wall of my mind is a couple in my Sunday school class several years ago. They had nothing, laid off from the job, nothing. I mean, the church was having to help them put food on the table. They could not even make ends meet. And then someone in the church helped them land a very lucrative job. Now why, when he didn't have anything, he was in the church every time the doors was open, he could not do enough in the church. But then when he gets a job and he starts making money and he gets back on his feet and he gets his bills all paid up, he starts laying out here and then laying out there and missing this Sunday night and missing Wednesday night, and next thing you know, he's out of Sunday school, he's out of church, he's out. If I told you where he was today and what he was doing today, you would find out why I see this as a very tragic situation. I won't go into much details, but I will say he's divorced. And the last time I talked with him, he was not in a good place. Well, Brother Tommy, why did you bring all of that up? I'm just saying there's some things we don't have because God knows we can't handle it. You ever thought about why you're not a millionaire? Maybe you can't handle it. If that money took you away from God, you'd be in a bad place. That would not be a good thing. I tell you, if you got a roof over your head, clothes on your back, food to eat, a car to drive, you can be happier and richer than most of these Hollywood movie stars could ever be. Why are they always committing suicide and taking drugs, taking pills to try to get to sleep, taking pills, trying to wake up, and then overdosing? Tens of millions of dollars, but it don't make them happy. They're living a world of lust. They're walking in darkness. They couldn't handle it. Maybe we can't either. We're to turn away from such behavior, as in verse 4. We should be repulsed at even the conversation of it. We should not enjoy watching shows, listening to jokes, telling those jokes. Sadly, today, this kind of thing is common. And the Bible calls it a wicked sin, just to rehash. Verse 5, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. God wants us to know that there's a difference between his children and those who are not his children. Don't listen to this ecumenical concept that's spreading across America. Well, we're all the children of God. No, my friend, the Bible says if you're not saved, you're not born again. The devil is your father. God, to be your father, you have to be born again. And God wants us to know the difference between his children and not his children. And we've talked a lot about light and darkness. God uses light and darkness to picture the difference between a saved person and a lost person. He asked a question in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. And the question he asked, he says, and what communion hath a light with darkness? And of course, the obvious answer is none. There is no communion between light and darkness. We cannot be children of light and children of disobedience. Does this mean that if a saved person commits fornication, if a saved person covets, or some other sinful act, that they'll be lost again? No, it doesn't say that at all. There's false teachers that we need to be wary that teach this error. But I will say that there's ditches on both sides of the road. Some say that we're saved by refraining from doing these evil works, and other false teachers say we have a license to sin. Doesn't matter how we behave after we're saved. But both of these teachings are false. We are saved 100% by grace through faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. This is one of the most fundamental verses in our doctrine, in our beliefs, what we believe today. We believe this is the only way. You should be familiar with Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. It doesn't say that you can work your way to heaven. It didn't say that if you get baptized, then that means you're saved. It didn't say that you could buy it. The more riches you have, then the more saved you are. No, my friend. The way you get saved is by grace and through faith. And what is faith? That's believing in what you can't see, right? I see the Lord in my mind, but I can't see him physically. But through faith, I believe in him. I know I believe in 100%. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You ever heard the teaching about the perseverance of the saints? That's just another phrase that means eternal security. We're saved by grace through faith. This separates us from a lot of denominations. The Catholics don't believe this. They believe in good works. They believe in infant baptism. Other denominations don't believe this. You got to keep the law. You got to do this. You got to do that. It's what you can do. Getting saved by good works means that's something that you do, that you did, that you caused that salvation. You're responsible for being good enough. Some people won't get saved this morning because they feel like, well, they're not good enough. Well, when I quit drinking, I'll come get saved. No, my friend, you're putting the cart before the horse. You're saved by grace, not one thing that you can do to deserve it. Not one thing you can do to earn it. You can't buy it. You can't pay for it. You can't join a church. You can't join a denomination. You can't just get baptized. You can't get your name on the church roll. You can't be the pastor's son or daughter or wife or child. Or you can't be the best deacon, the best teacher. No, my friend, it's not anything that you do. It is the gift of God. A gift is something that you don't deserve, something you didn't earn. Someone gives you a gift and they're the one that paid the expense. But we have to receive it. Not by works, lest any man should boast. Oh, we could park here and never exhaust these verses. Grace, faith, gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I could park there on that, lest any man should boast. Because see, if you worked your way to heaven, then you can boast how you did good enough to get there. You could boast on what you did. But no, my friend, we don't boast in our salvation on what we did. We boast in what Christ did. He paid it all. He paid the price. It's His gift to give. The one word, one big word that separates our religion, our denomination from some of the others is they do. But our salvation is not do, it's done. Christ said on the cross, it is finished. He gave His life for mine. He shed His blood for me. Has it ever got personal to you? Yes, God still loved the world, but has it ever got personal? Do you really believe God loves you? Did Jesus Christ go to that cross? Yes, Jesus is God. Did He go to that cross for you? Has it ever got personal to you? And verse 10 that follows explains that after we're saved, that we become God's workmanship. God's doing the work and He knows how to get it accomplished. He will not fail. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We didn't get saved because of good works, but we'll do good works if we're saved, which God hath before ordained that we should walk. There's that word walk. Live, lifestyle, we should walk in them. Some false teachers say today that they're saved by grace and it doesn't matter to God how we behave. They basically believe that God gave people a license to sin. Now you're saved, you can get in. Go live for the world. You're saved, you're going to make it in. But God teaches us that if we're really truly saved, born again, that these teachings are vain and that God's wrath is going to come on the children of disobedience. Then in verse 6, let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Well, I don't have to go to church. Well, you're being disobedient. Well, I can go to the bars and dance and party and drink. Well, you're being disobedient. I can live any way I want to. It ain't nobody else's business. Well, you're being disobedient. Let no man deceive you. Don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Because for these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. There will be evidence of a person who is genuine saved, born again, having the Holy Spirit living in them. There is a difference. The Bible says we become a new creature. The same idea of these verses in Ephesians. We can see in these verses two important things about people. Number one, people who do not love God love darkness. You can find that in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. We know who the light is, right? And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So we know that people who do not love God love darkness, and we also know that people who love God hate darkness. John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Are you shining your light? Do you have a light to shine? Don't hide it under a bushel. Shine bright for Jesus. A saved person may fail the Lord and do some sinful act, but if we are saved, we have truly been born again, and we fall and we commit that sin, we will not love darkness. We will recognize and love the light, and we will want to get back right with God, back in fellowship with God. 1 John 3:6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, but whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. The words here, abideth, sinneth, are verbs that describe a continual, habitual practice. Those who follow a consistent pattern of righteousness will give true evidence of being saved. I've always said, I'll say it again, I believe one of the most miserable person walking the face of this earth today is someone that is truly saved and yet living in sin. They don't fit into the world, and they won't get right with God to get into the church and serve God. So they're walking the fence. Trying to have 1 foot in the world, 1 foot in the church, it don't happen, my friend. You will be miserable, and God will take you to the woodshed. Just like a parent would discipline their child. If you're really, really, really a child of God, He will chastise you. Some of you this morning may have shipwrecked lives because you just keep getting one whooping after another. I believe the Bible teaches that after He takes us to the woodshed so many times and we still won't straighten up, He'll call us on home. I believe a lot of people today have died an early death because of disobedience. A true evidence that a person is saved is a changed life. A truly saved person has part in the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We became fellow heirs with Christ and became partakers of his promise. You can be saved this morning and not be a Christian. But you can't be a Christian this morning and not be saved. Well, Brother Tommy, that don't make a bit of sense. Well, listen closely. To be a Christian means to be Christ-like. You can be saved this morning and you can be backslid on God and not be at all Christ-like. No fruit coming out of your life whatsoever. But yet, if you're living Christ-like, you have the love of God in you, light is shining through you, then you are saved. Or that, let me say that that is a good evidence that you are saved. Ephesians 3:6 says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Colossians 1:12 tells us that we should give thanks to the Father, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. There's that word light again. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We actually can partake of the divine nature of Christ. This is an exceeding great and precious promise. Since we are partakers of all these wonderful promises and even more, God tells us in these next verses not to participate with the lost world in their darkness. Verse 7, back to our text, Ephesians 5, verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Who is them? Those that he was talking about in earlier verses. Paul gave similar instructions to the Corinthian church. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Of course, we know that all these verses were written for all Christians, saved people, born again believers. We're to come out from among them, we're to be ye separate. Separation from the world and the things of the world is not popular teaching today. It's hard to tell the saved from the lost in our world today. Verse 8 reminds us that we're not what we used to be. We were in darkness, now we're in light. We know that dark and light are extreme opposites. There's no mistaking one from the other. Verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now, thank God, you can have a shouting spell here, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's something to rejoice in. And again, that word walk means your lifestyle, the journey in this Christian journey is we need to be children of light. We need to be letting our light shine. We need to let others see Christ living in us. So many people today that call themselves Christians, but there's no light. It's even hard. We go out door knocking and inviting people to church and ask them if they're saved. It's hard to find anybody today that is lost, to hear them tell it. It seems everyone you ask, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, no, they don't go to church, they don't pray, they don't read God's word. They live worldly lives, live for the world. No change at all in their lifestyle. This is not a picture we see painted by God's word of a saved person. If someone is truly born again through the blood of Christ, there was a change in their life and they're different. They're a new creation. And if we have the light in us, we should let that light reflect the greater light of God into this dark world around us. Matthew 5:16 tells us to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As I've already said, it's worth repeating, good works does not get us saved, but if you're saved, there will be good works. Does the way we live our lives cause others to want to glorify our Father which is in heaven? There are some important principles we need to guide our behavior as responsible Christians. Number one, God's desires concerning our behavior are grounded in His great love for us. He wants us to live holy lives because we love Him. Number two, our behavior shows what is on the inside. What's on the inside is going to show up on the outside. The Bible even talks a lot about where your heart is, there's your treasure. Now, what are you talking about? What are you talking about all the time? That's usually where your heart is. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Are you talking about the Lord? Or you always willing and able to talk about sports and anything of the world, and then somebody comes up, just the love of God in them, and wants to just talk about God, and they just sort of drop their head and wander off and don't have much to say anymore. Number three, our outward actions can never save us. But our outward actions do validate or prove our profession of faith is real. It gives evidence of salvation. If I was a policeman today and I walked up to you and I arrested you for being a Christian, you ask for a jury trial, we go to court, when you get on the stand, can I just ask you a question? If you was on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence? Would there be enough evidence to prove the case? Oh me or oh my? Amen or oh me? What if I made a mess of my life? Is it too late, someone may say? A lot of people teach that as we grow older, we're too set in our ways to change. You just can't teach an old dog new tricks. It's too late, too old, too set, too calloused. Some even say that our birth defects or how we were raised or being in a dysfunctional home in our past can't be overcome without a long, extreme, expensive process. Or maybe going to the psychiatrist or having lessons and trying to wean yourself from that process. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, taught that believers to know and understand the wonderful things that happened to them the minute they were saved, and to begin to live and behave according to the new life immediately. Not saying that you're going to do everything perfect. You may be a cusser and you get saved, and just out of habit, some words may still come out of your mouth for a while. But I hope you're striving to clean your act up. I hope you're striving to be more like Jesus, which is called Christ-like, which is called a Christian. Salvation is instant. It happens right then. It's an immediate process. It's when the Holy Spirit moves in you, baptizes you in the Holy Spirit, you are saved. And if you're truly born again scripturally, you're saved forever. But yet our behavior, our walk, our journey through this life is a process. Just like we've taught a few weeks ago, a child growing up and feasting and eating and exercising and what it takes to grow and grow and grow, that's how we should grow spiritually. And you tell me you've been saved 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and you can't even have a discussion on the Bible or the things of God, then I would say you did not grow spiritually. Something went wrong. We'll never be 100% complete. We'll never have perfect, sinless perfection. We will and do fail God. But when we sin, there's consequences. And it's never too late for God to do a work in our lives. I'm not what I'm going to be. I'm not what I used to be. I don't ever have to throw up my hands and give up. God is still working on me. When I was a child, I remember how much I wanted to please my parents. Did you ever just love your dad so much you wanted to please your dad? Whatever it was, making an A in school or scoring a touchdown, or you just wanted to please your dad. Well, that was a good thing. Can I just ask you this morning to strive to please your Father, your Heavenly Father? He wants you to score that touchdown spiritually. He wants you to make that A spiritually. He wants you to live a victorious life. If you wanted to please your dad when you was growing up, how much more should we love our Heavenly Father and want to please Him? Because He loves us so much. I'm going to close with this. We live in a dark world. I'm telling you what, I watch the news. Oh, it makes me sick to see what's going on in America today. Oh, America is getting darker and darker and darker. We live in a dark world, and when we're normal Christians, we'll shine a very bright light to those walking in darkness around us. Can I just say, the darker the world, the brighter the light? And one of the best ways to brighten our light is to read, meditate on God's Word, spend time in a prayer closet, get involved in the local church, love others, put others above yourself, but love Christ first. Remember how Moses shone after he spent time alone up on the mountain with God? He come down off that mountain and he was so bright that they couldn't even look upon him. He had to put a veil over him. He was blinding. He was so bright being alone with God. Well, God loves us. And he wants us to walk in love and in light. I want to challenge you. Shine your light. Give evidence of being a Christian. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first. Give first place. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that Bible goes on, that verse goes on with a promise and says, if you do that, if you put God first, he says, and all these things will be added to you. Prove God. Give him a chance to work in your life. You've tried it your way long enough. You've tried it the world's way long enough. Have you tried it God's way? Today would be the best day to start walking in love and in light. God bless you.